And now, it's time for World of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
And welcome to another edition of World of Prophecy. Well, today as I present this program, I look outside the window and I tell you, the storm is gathering literally today. We're under a tornado watch down here in south central Texas, and I call it the Republic of Texas, Austin, the great capital. They tell us there's a tornado watch or alert. I've never been able to distinguish what's the difference of those meteorological, to use a big term, let's call it weather terminology there. But if every once in a while we're on this program, you hear some thunder in the background, that's what it is. It's not my voice. I may have a gravelly voice, booms a bit, but it's the thunder you're hearing, not my voice. But I'm wondering if maybe, it may sound a little mystical, but maybe it's the thunder of God. You know, I chose this my subject today, and we're going to really document these incredibly satanic, false, let me just go a little further, Kool-Aid, trashy, garbage, new Bible versions. And I'll tell you, I believe they're a stink in the nostril of God, and maybe that's, I'm not saying for sure, but maybe that's the thundering of God there. Maybe knowing that I was going to present this on the air today to you and give you some documentation and proof, maybe God's a little angry too. You know, God's patience is absolutely marvelous. But it does, every once in a while, run a little thin. You know, you read the Old Testament and you're going to find that's true. I mean, you go back to the days of Genesis, read Genesis 6. You know, man's thoughts were continually evil. Men ceased to do nothing but evil, rampant in the world. And God finally had enough of it. He repented of himself that he had ever made man. And if it weren't for Noah at least being, you know, righteous enough in God's eyes to be spared, God would have ended it all right there with that flood. I'll tell you, talk about thunder. Don't you imagine there were some thunderstorms then, some lightning in the heavens? I'll suggest to you it was a very scary time for men who had rejected God and who lived in unrighteousness. Well, today we're going to be talking about the false Kool-Aid, trashy, error-filled new Bible versions. And on the other hand, there's hope. There's hope because I'm going to point out some of the overwhelming evidence for the King James Bible. Now, I love these kinds of programs because when I preach on this subject, I get all of these serpents that come out of the woodwork, and man, they are so angry and mad, and they email me, you know, vile messages, and they send me letters, and how dare you, Tex Mars? You know, my wonderful New International Version is so fantastic. You stick with that old King James Bible. It's a big nothing. I love my New Living Translation. I love my Contemporary English Version. I love my, they've got every kind of version today. Actually, they're really not versions. They're perversions. Perversions. I call it the New International Perversion. The New American Standard Perversion. That's what they are. Oh, no, Tex Mars, how can you say such horrible things? Well, what can I say? I'm not only going to say it about them, I'm going to say it for the purveyors of this perverted perversions. People like Doctor. I wonder where he got his doctorate from. You know, everybody's running around saying they're a doctor now. You know, I've had these Bible colleges that write me letters and say, "Dear Mr. Mars, we know that you've taught at three universities, and we'll be delighted to give you an honorary doctorate at our Bible college. Some of them actually say, Mr. Mars, if you could see your way to giving us a love gift of $1,000 or more, we will be proud to award you an honorary doctorate at our next commencement ceremony. Can you believe that? Hey, that's a good deal, isn't it? Just give them $1,000 and you get a doctorate. And, I checked around. Well, there's Dr. Paul Crouch of TBN. He didn't earn his doctorate. Honorary. There's Dr. Billy Graham. Doctor this. Doctor. Hey, friends, if you'll give a $25 love gift, I can name at least 10 fake Bible college diploma mills that'll give you a doctorate. And you, too, can run around. Dr. Sarah Jones, Dr. Ted Smith, and whatever your name is, you can have doctor in front of it. And most of these religious leaders do. Well, I don't know about Dr. Jack Van Impe, but he's probably... I have never actually met a true doctor that's a televangelist or is head of one of these big charismatic groups that's a true doctor. And, you know, it makes me wonder. It's just like these fake Bible scholars. You know, the whole world is run on fakery, it seems now, as we move into the end times. One person said to me, Tex, you know, but you've got all the education and everything for a doctorate. You could go to a university and, you know, arrange to receive a doctorate, a real doctorate, because of all of your education, the fact you've taught college courses at the University of Texas at Austin, for Park College, for Golden Gate University. You could actually earn a doctorate and just go ahead and get you a degree. Yes, I probably could do that. What would it matter? I think it's sort of degrading to run around calling yourself doctor anyway. Yeah, I'm almost embarrassed to say I used to teach at universities, folks. I mean, come on. Universities, they're also purveyors of perversion. I think I'm just going to go around saying that I never got a high school diploma. I think it might be more honorable nowadays, considering, well, I don't know, it may not be good either. Nowadays, they seem to be just graduating kids that really don't deserve it. I know in many states, they actually have these high school tests now, you know. If you pass the test, then you qualify for the degree. And then they make the test at like a fifth or sixth grade level. So if you finish 12 years of high school and you pass the sixth grade equivalency exam, you get your high school diploma. Something's pretty warped here, isn't it? You'd think they'd have to pass at a 12th grade level. Well, that's the kind of world we live in. And today, all of these college students, they're assigned papers to do, and they run off to the Internet. And they just order their computer printer to print out some article and turn it in as theirs. I used to have these guys that go to these term paper mills and pay $50 or something for a term paper when I taught the University of Texas. And I loved to catch the cheaters like that. And every once in a while, I would catch a cheater. I'd say, this is a very interesting paper, Mr. Wilson. The only problem is, it's the third time I've seen it this week. You're the third different person that wrote this original term paper that you paid $50 for. And then the young man would be very embarrassed. And, of course, you know, it's just sad that that would happen. Well, Dr. Jack Van Impe says he's the walking Bible. He actually promotes himself, in the past at least, as calls himself the walking Bible. But now he says the Bible is in error. Can you believe that? The walking Bible man says the Bible has mistakes? Yeah. He said the King James Bible, Matthew 24, where Jesus said that he would tell his disciples the signs of his second coming and of the end of the world. Dr. Jack Van Impe says that was an error. Oh, yes, he knows so much more than God who wrote the King James Bible. Van Impe says, actually, it should have been not the end of the world, but the end of the age of grace. His disciples asked Jesus, Lord, what will be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? It's right there in the Bible. And he said, no, don't worry about the end of the world, folks. Don't think about that. That's not in the Bible. It should never have been there in the first place. Yes, I know everybody from Martin Luther to Tyndale to all of the great saints. And, oh, I know all of that. I mean, everybody from Abe Lincoln to George Washington of our founding fathers and great political leaders. They read from the King James, and they believed that. But they were in error. These people were just so dumb. But all of us today that are so much more intelligent and wise, with all these new Bible versions, now we know, says Van Impe, that should have never been in the Bible in the first place. Doesn't that make you feel so good to hear it from Dr. Jack Van Impe? Now, Van Impe went on to explain. Let me give the man credit. He had a good explanation. He said it won't be the end of the world because man shall dwell on earth forever and ever. And that's a direct quote. You know, I don't want to live on the earth forever and ever. Do you? Haven't you read in the book of Revelation about those streets of gold in heaven? Haven't you read about the majestic, incredible future of eternity that God has prepared for you? I believe Jesus when he said that he's prepared mansions for us in heaven. He said, I'm going to come and get you. I'm going to, where I go, you'll go too. He says, if it weren't so, I would have told you. He went to prepare a mansion for you. Mansions in heaven. Oh, when I was a little child and I would go to church and they would sing those wonderful songs about those streets of gold and mansions in heaven. You know, I was very poor as a child. I remember going to elementary school on one pair of pants and one shirt, no socks. And, you know, I believe the Bible. I actually, excuse me for saying this, all of you scholarly folks out there that think that you know more than God, all of you scribes, but I must tell you, as a young man, sitting in that uncomfortable pew of that little church over the railroad track, I actually believe. I believed it when they read from the King James Bible. And now I think about maybe the little boys. They got socks now, and they got more than one pair of clothes. And they're in some fancy church now, sitting in comfortable seats, air-conditioned comfort. And their doctor pastor gets up and says, I just heard from Dr. Jack Van Impe. Forget everything that's in the King James. We're not going to be living in heaven forever and ever. No, man shall dwell on earth forever and ever. And he would go on to say, and this is exactly what I heard Jack Van Impe say, and folks, if you don't believe it, call Van Impe, contact him. It was on Trinity Broadcasting Network, November the 12th, 1997. November the 12th. There with Rexella, his wife, smiling away. Van Impe says, this does not mean the end of the world, but the end of dispensationalism, that's all. Or dispensation, not dispensationalism, excuse me. I want to make sure I quote the man right. In other words, he says, this is going to be the end of the age of grace, and we're going to have another dispensational age. Now, what Van Impe said must be true because on that same program, he quoted a Jewish rabbi and a Catholic saint as sources. It must be true. I mean, a Jewish rabbi said it. And a Catholic saint, that's what Van Impe said. These are true sources. You know, I've got a little problem with that. First of all, Catholic saints also believed in purgatory. They believed that when the infant is baptized, they're saved. They reject the second commandment of the Ten Commandments, these Catholic saints so-called did, most of them. You know, the one that talks about not putting up any idols and worshiping them, you know, like those statues in those Catholic churches. No wonder in the Catholic versions of the Bible, for many years, they took out the second commandment. They only had 9 commandments, but I think it was the 9th that they took and made 2 out of, so they could end up with the original 10. But the second one, you know, to not worship any graven images. Boy, that was just taken, stripped right out of the Bible. And a Jewish rabbi, folks, Jewish rabbis today have rejected Jesus Christ. They're natural men. They're not spiritual beings. And the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God. What is a Jewish rabbi? Are these the same ones that are that call for Jesus to be crucified? The Sanhedrin, do you remember those guys? Do you remember those rabbis that called Jesus blasphemer, called him every name in the book, said he was a Beelzebub? And when Pontius Pilate wanted to release him, said, I don't find any fault in this man, they cried even the louder, crucify him. Is that the kind of man, the Jewish rabbi, that we're to believe in? I'm so sorry. I'm just going to have to stick with the King James Bible. And I'm going to have to reject Dr. Jack Van Impe and the New Bible versions that he quotes. I'm going to have to reject this Jewish rabbi and this Catholic saint that he quotes. I'm going to have to be an old-fashioned man. Now, if I'm getting you good and mad out there and you're saying, well, that Tex Morris, he is just a, man, he's a crud. How could he possibly say those things about a Jewish rabbi and a Catholic saint and the walking Bible, Dr. Van Impe? Well, folks, I'm waiting for your letter that tells me how bad a person I am. And I don't care about your letter. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I respect the Word of God more than your opinion. That makes me a person full of hate. It makes me a bigot. Oh, yes. Please don't write those things. I already know about them. You won't be the first one to tell me that I'm a bigot and a hateful person. My goodness gracious. I was just thinking of doing a whole book on, you know, things like that. Just put the letters that I've got. Entitled it, Tex Morris is a Hateful Bigot. Authored by 6,328,995 people around the world. I could fill up I could fill up probably a North American van line truck with the letters I've received calling me a hateful bigot. Because I believe in the King James Bible. And the King James Bible tells us, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Not too long ago, a man wrote me a letter. He said he believes very strongly in Israel. And because of that, he believes that God gave Israel a covenant that would never fail. And that covenant doesn't have Jesus' name in it, he said. And therefore, when you say that Jews will die and go to hell without Jesus, you are a hateful anti-Semitic bigot, he said. The last paragraph of his letter, this man explained that he was a Christian himself. He said, I believe fully in the Bible. I believe it's inerrant. But you, Tex Morris, you're a hateful bigot. I want you to figure that one out. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He told the Jews of his day, if you do not believe that I'm he, that is, that I'm God, you will die in your sins. He said, you're your father the devil when they rejected him. He said, if you truly believed in Father Abraham, you would believe in me. Well, I hate to say this, but Jesus was a bigot. excuse me for saying it. I would never say that. I'm just talking about from the perspective of these people today. If it's true that Tex Morris is a bigot for quoting Jesus, then Jesus was a bigot. If it's true that the Apostle Paul quoted Jesus, then the Apostle Paul was a bigot. If it's true that Peter stood up to the Sanhedrin, they straight-laced him and they said, you know, we command you not to preach this Jesus anymore. Peter said to the Sanhedrin, I must obey God and not man. And he went right out and kept preaching Jesus. What do you think he was telling those Jews? He was telling them that Jesus was the only way to heaven, the only way to salvation. Well, according to these new people out there, these new scholars, these new version people, Peter was just another bigot, another anti-Semitic bigot. Now, please, understand, Peter was, he was a Jew. Jesus was born to a Jewish woman, Mary. But I guess a Jew can be a bigoted Jew, too. I don't know. That must be what they're trying to tell us now. You know, my friends, I'm telling you, these people are skating on thin ice that are out there proclaiming that when you quote Jesus Christ, you're a bigot. I believe they're skating on thin ice. I believe they're blaspheming the Word of God. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus is the Son of God, and whatever he said, he meant. And if it's in the King James Bible, it's true. He said it. I accept it. I honor it. I acknowledge it. It will never change. God's Word has never changed. It's forever settled in heaven. And all of you people out there running around saying that someone's a bigot because they say Jews need Jesus, I tell you what you are. You are a hateful blasphemer of God's Word. Let me just tell you the way it is, folks. If you're German, you need Jesus. If you're Irish, you need Jesus. If you're Scottish, you need Jesus. If you're Afro-American, you need Jesus. If you're from Haiti, you need Jesus. If you're Heinz 57, you need Jesus. If you're Jew, you need Jesus. I think a person that doesn't want to preach to Jews is a bigot. They prefer to see Jews go to hell. But a person who loves Jews will tell them of the Messiah, will preach to them the truth. Now, Jesus said that his word was an offense. The gospel is offensive to people. But Jesus said, woe to he who finds offense in it. There's no doubt that people will hate you and despise you for telling the truth. But they receive the condemnation, my friends, not you. You say, now, Tex, how can you possibly say that the words of God are pure and forever settled in heaven? Because there's thousands of versions now running around out there, and every one of them is different. How can the Word of God be forever settled? Well, it is settled. I'm going to read to you just a few quotes from the Bible that I have to tell you I love. The Lord Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John 6, verse 63. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. Did you know, my good friends, that God has magnified his word above his name? Psalm 138, verse 2. Imagine. You know, when you blaspheme God's word, when you strip verse after verse out of it, like the NIV, the NAS, and all the other false, I don't even want to call them Bibles, pseudo-corrupt Bibles do, you're blaspheming the Word of God. And he holds his name as something wonderful, and it is. In Philippians, it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Isn't it incredible, then, that God magnifies his Word above even his name? Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7 says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation, forever. What is the them? Let me read it to you. It says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Imagine. The words of the Lord purified seven times. I didn't think it would take but one time. If God purifies it, all it takes once. Well, I don't know why God does it, but these are purified seven times. Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six. Seven times he purifies his word. And then you think that these NIV and these filthy little other Bibles, Good News for Modern Man and all the other junky ones out there, the New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Living Bible and all the other garbage heaps, you think that they can take away from God when he's already purified his words? You know, every time you go to a church today, there's a pastor that reads from the Bible and says, now, actually, this should have been this way. Well, actually, the King James translators mistranslated here. This word really is best stated as such and such. Well, you know, now in the Greek, this says this. Well, according to this encyclopedia of the Bible, this verse really should say this. Now I go back to my King James Bible, and I see that Jesus taught from the Bible. He even stood up in the synagogue and read out of the Bible, out of the book of Isaiah. And I don't read anywhere where Jesus said, now this actually is misquoted right here. It really should have said this. Or, well, now in the original Hebrew, it should have said this. Or, well, now the Bible you've got here in Israel says this, but it's not correct. You see, Moses made a mistake in literation there, and not only that, but, you know, some of the later prophets mistranslated incorrectly, and it really should have been this. Jesus just doesn't do that. And, you know, the Apostle Paul, Peter, all of them quote from the Word of God, Jude, James, and they never doubt it. They are so sure. There is a sure foundation of the Word of God. Well, there's not when you walk into a Christian bookstore today. I'm telling when you go into a Christian bookstore, Typhon, he was the ancient god of confusion. Well, he's running around up and down the aisles of those Christian bookstores today saying, hey, hey, Christian, you fool, over here. Buy this false Bible. No, no, you Christian over here. Here, buy this one. Look, look, thousands of words missing. Isn't it neat? Isn't it wonderful? Here, Christian, you fool, buy this. We're going to go over some of the words of God here, especially in the next 30 minutes. I'm going to show you that the NIV committee actually removed the word sodomite from their Bible. I wonder why they did it. Maybe they're sodomites and they didn't like to see the description of them in there. Maybe they're queers and homosexuals. I wonder. Could it be that one of the people that was on the NIV committee as a word stylist was, could it be that she was, oh my goodness, a lesbian? Yeah, that's exactly right. We'll talk about that in just a moment when we come back. We'll see about all the removals. Get thee behind me, Satan, Jesus said. Oh, no, he didn't say the new versions. That and more when we return here on World of Prophecy. This is Tex Mars. Stay with us. We have much more to talk about on the perverted perversions when we return. New Age Bible Versions. It's a book by Gail Ripplinger. They call it a magnus opus. That means it's a magnificent volume. Almost 700 packed, power-packed pages. This is the one book that exposes all of the new false Bible versions. The Phillips, the New Jerusalem, the New Century, the RSV, the REB, the NAB, the NRSV, the CEV, the TEV, the GNB, the NIV, the NASB, all of them. The New King James Version, perversion, all of them are exposed in this book. You know, on the front cover of this book, it's a black book. black colored. It has a red dragon on it. I'm telling you, Gail Ripinger, former professor at Kent State University, an exhaustive 6-year study of the New Bible versions. She compared them with the Greek manuscripts and the Hebrew Masoretic text. She says that there is a hidden alliance between the new versions and the New Age movement's one world religion of Satan. They worshiped the dragon, Revelation 13, verse 4. Friends, these new Bible version promoters worship the dragon. They don't come to you like that, because Satan's ministers come to you as angels of light. But they worship the red dragon of Revelation. Believe me, my friends. And when you read this book, when you study this book, you will get so shocked and so angry, I know you're going to do something. I've often said, it doesn't matter what you do in life, doesn't matter all of your good works. If you allow God's word to be trampled on and thrown into the stench of the pit, like so many of these fakey, hokey, compromising pastors do today, then I pity you and your soul. I trust, though, that you love God's word, that these things prick your heart and your conscience, and you want to know more. I hope you'll order this book for your gift of $15 to the ministry. Please add $2 postage and handling, a total of $17. The book, almost 700 pages long, totally documented. Oh, how the false Bible teachers hated Gail Ripinger when she came out with this book. They worshipped the dragon and blasphemed the Word of God. Here's how to get your copy of New Age Bible Versions by Gail Ripinger. Just call us here in the United States toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Write us, too. You can send us your check for a total of $17. That includes postage and handling for this book. Just ask for New Age Bible Versions. Total of $17. Send your check or money order to World of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road. That's P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road. Austin, Texas. That's A-U-S-T-I-N, Texas. The zip code 78733. When you do, if you're not receiving my monthly newsletter, Flashpoint, I'll make sure you get a full subscription to that as well. Now, if you're interested in some of the other books we have, and we have some great books, we have An Understandable History of the Bible by Dr. Sam Gipp. We have Defending the King James Bible by Dr. D.A. Waite. And I'll tell you, we have some great resources from Dr. Peter Ruckman down in Pensacola, Florida. A man who has been greatly, greatly used by the Lord. And we've got, we've got books that are just wonderful, and videos by Dr. Ruckman. Call and ask for a complete list of our King James Bible resources. We'll be glad to send that to you. And now let's return to our regular program as we look at the false Bible versions and consider the outstanding evidence for the King James Bible. Well, talking about Dr. Peter Ruckman, recently reading in his newspaper, the Bible Believers Bulletin, how the New International Version, they say that's outselling the King James now in bookstores, how the NIV committee so graciously, as Dr. Ruckman tongue-in-cheek puts it, how they graciously removed the word sodomite from their Bible. Now, you'll find the word sodomite in the King James, Deuteronomy 23, verse 17, 1 Kings 14, verse 24, and chapter 15, verse 12, also chapter 22, verse 26, 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 7. There's no doubt God sees the abominations of what the homosexuals do as sodomy. But not the NIV committee. Oh, no. Why, they've even changed 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. You know where Paul talked about the abominations of the effeminate? The effeminate. You know, like in queer and homosexual? Well, now it's just a homosexual offender. Oh, yes. This is worded so it will be a sin for you, says Dr. Ruckman, to offend the faggot. Well, in other words, it's against God's law to be a homosexual offender, so you cannot offend homosexuals. You see how they can twist things together? Well, you know, all of this became a little bit more clear to me when I found out that Dr. Virginia Mollenkopf, who I consider a sex pervert, a goddess worshiper, who has said that her lifestyle as a sex pervert lesbian has always been, quote, a part of her. It was even a part of her when she was helping to choose words for the New International Version. Not too long ago, I was reading a gay magazine. Now, I'm making a confession there. Every once in a while, I read gay magazines. Yes, people send me these magazines. They've sent me New Age and everything from UFO to occult magazines to read. Well, somebody sent me a gay magazine. Now, I wouldn't tell you the name of the person who sent it. No, he's not a homosexual either. But he was at a bookstore, and on the front cover was a picture of a woman named Dr. Virginia Mollenkopf. And the cover said something like, she helped write the New International Version of the Bible. Now she says she's a lesbian and always has been. Well, that got, you know, he was there. I don't know what he was, what magazine he was looking for, Popular Electronics or, I don't know, Boat and Water Skiing magazines. I don't know, but he saw that. And the man, I suggest to you, he would be a little bit like me. He said, if I buy that magazine and I take it up to the news, you know, up to the cashier, it's going to be pretty embarrassing. But he braved it anyway. Maybe he backed up to the cash register to pay for the magazine. But he got it home, and boy, was he upset. Turned out that Dr. Virginia Mollenkopf was bragging about all of the help she had given the NIV Bible people. She was a word stylist. Boy, I tell you. How can the NIV explain away that they had a lesbian helping them choose words for their Bible, so-called? Well, now, Dr. Ruckman goes on to say, if you want to believe in the Nutty Idiots version, that's the NIV, then be ready. The word Christ is removed 25 times. The word Lord is removed 352 times. The word Jesus is removed 292 times. And even the word God is removed 466 times. Did you know he says, the NIV says that David never killed Goliath? Someone named Elhanan killed Goliath. Well, isn't that strange? I guess I was a dumb little boy. You know, I sit there in church, went to Sunday school. They told me that David killed Goliath. I'm so glad that the NIV has corrected that. Aren't you, my friends? Now, I suppose you're just going to get all your little kiddies together and tell them, now, kids, I'm so sorry to tell you this, but they've been lying to you at Sunday school. David never killed Goliath. It says right here in the NIV, it was Elhanan. Sort of like there's no Santa Claus. And the only difference is there really is no Santa Claus, but there was a David, and he did kill Goliath. Well, I know that because, you see, it's in the God's Word. You know the Word that's purified seven times? The King James Bible? Yes, that's where it's at. Isn't it interesting, these pastors and false teachers say, but the new versions are so much plainer and easier to read. Well, yes, it's plainer to read. And it's easier to see that Elhanan killed Goliath instead of David. Is that what you mean by plainer and easier to read? Well, I suppose something is easier to read. I mean, you don't have to go through all those words, you know, and weed through them in the King James Bible, like Christ and Lord and Jesus and God. That does make it a lot easier to read, doesn't it? I was looking at the book by Dr. D.A. Waite, director of Bible for Today. Now, he's a real scholar. His book, Defending the King James Bible, we offer that out of the ministry too. And it's very interesting. Let me tell you some of his research. He compared the actual Greek New Testament. Now, just the Greek. We're not even talking about the Old Testament, which is the Hebrew Masoretic text. But just the New Testament, he compared the new versions and their changes with the original King James Bible. Let me tell you what he found. First of all, he found that 10,000 words are missing on an average in the new versions. 10,000 words. He said that is the equivalent of the entire book of Romans, or the entire book of 1 Corinthians, or both 2 Corinthians and Galatians. He said you could just take a pencil and wipe out, or take a pair of scissors, I guess, and cut out Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and 1 Thessalonians. They all come to 9,096 words. You could take out entirely, stripped from the Bible, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. You'd just come out to about 10,088 words. You could just totally remove and throw away the book of Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 2 Timothy, Philemon, 2 Peter, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude, and you would come out to 9,819 words. That's how many words, the equivalent, 10,000 words have been removed from the King James Bible, God's holy word. The Textus Receptus has been called the received text. Just in the New Testament. Wow. It's unbelievable. Dr. Waite says, isn't it time to contend for the book? He says, I think you will agree with me that there is much at stake in this battle for our Bible. I agree with Dr. Waite. It makes me sick what they've done. Now let me go to the NIV again, because that's the most popular Bible out there. You know, children understand the meaning of hell. They see it on TV all the time. They know about those demons from hell. I hope you're not letting them watch that filthy boob tube where they're learning all about the devils. And, I mean, every other show nowadays seems to be about some kind of a blood fiend from hell. Yeah, your kids know about hell, but wait. I suppose your children have to watch these horror movies to find out about hell, because they won't find out about it in the Bible anymore, not these new versions. Think of that. Did you know that the word hell has been taken out of the entire Old Testament in the New International Version? Think about it. No more hell. Well, I suppose that makes all the people that are headed for there a lot more comfortable, doesn't it? Now they don't have to read the Bible and it violates their comfort zone. Oh, it must make the hellraisers happy to get to the NIV Bible and say, isn't this nice? I haven't seen the word hell mentioned one time in the entire Old Testament. This is the kind of Bible I really appreciate. This isn't like that mean and hateful and spiteful old King James Bible that warns people that they will go to hell if they persist in their sins and their evil works. I like this new version. Wow, there's no hell in here. As a matter of fact, the really nice thing I like about it, they say, is Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. There was mention of my God Lucifer. And they said bad, bad things about him in that old King James. You know, they said that Lucifer, his destiny was the pit of hell. That was in the old King James, Isaiah chapter 14. Thank God they've taken out the name Lucifer in my new NIV Bible. And then they'll say, these hellraisers, as they sit around their fireplace on these cold, wintry nights, and as they read the New Testament, and they go to the Lord's Prayer, and they'll say, oh, I like this new Lord's Prayer of the NIV. It takes out the line, deliver us from evil. I don't really think there's any evil in the world, do you? No, there's no evil in the world. That's just a mirage. Why, Lucifer loves us so very much. That must be why they stripped the line, deliver us from evil, out of the NIV in the Lord's Prayer. And then the Lord's Prayer in the NIV, that last line that used to upset me so much about God reigning forever and ever, it's not there either in my new NIV Bible. You know, friends, they'll be right, these hellraisers. It's not there. It's not there in the NIV. Well, some people say, but Tex, you don't understand. The new Christians today, they don't understand the King James. It's got those big words like thou and thine and thy. Well, you know, there's a study, a tool, a measuring tool called the Flesch Kincaid Grade Level Research Methodology Tool. They actually use this. A lot of juvenile and elementary school publishers to grade their books to see the level of difficulty. In other words, they'll take a third grade reading book and they'll see if this is at the third grade or below reading level. Obviously, you don't want to give third graders the seventh or eighth grade reading level book or they can't understand the words. Did you know that researchers have used the Flesch Kincaid Grade Level Research Tool and compared it, or compared the King James Bible with the NIV? And here was the amazing finding, that the King James Bible was by far the easiest to read. Out of 26 different categories, the authorized version, the King James Bible, was graded a 23, while the NIV only got 8.4 points. In other words, let me tell you what this means. As Dr. Ruckman noted in his Bible Believers Bulletin, it's over twice as hard to read the NIV as it is the King James Bible. You say, no, I can't believe that. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. In fact, it's very interesting. In her book, New Age Bible Versions, Gail Ripplinger actually has comparisons of words in the new versions, and she compares them with the King James Bible. Well, just take the word hell. Everybody knows it is hell. But in some of the versions, they change it to Hades. What's wrong with hell? I understand it pretty good, don't you? But I suppose that the kids coming up in school today really can't understand the word hell, so they had to change it to Hades. Yeah, well. But, you know, it's not just the words that they've changed. It's some of the things they've omitted. Now, here's a verse for you that they've omitted from, let's say, the NIV Bible, and you know I can understand why. I'm going to read to you right out of the King James Bible, Matthew chapter 23, verse 14. Now, you read with me, folks, and you'll understand why the new Bible versions have taken this verse out. I'm telling you, if I was one of those false scholars, those fakers, changing up the Bible and bringing heaping condemnation on my head, I'd want this verse out of the Bible. Let me read what it says from the King James. Woe unto you, scribes, hypocrites! Ye shall receive the greater damnation. Ooh. Do you mean that prostitutes and drunkards and murderers and vile people will not receive the greater damnation? That's right. Jesus said that the greater damnation is reserved for scribes. That means the writers. they subtract and they add to the Word of God. And the greater damnation will be them. Not just condemnation. We're talking about damnation. Whew. My friends, I don't want God to point his finger at me on judgment day, do you? And say, ye hypocrite, ye shall receive the greater damnation. That's pretty frightening. Well, why would these people put themselves in a position to receive the greater damnation? Maybe the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 8, has something to do with it. You see, in the New American Standard, in the NIV, you can't find this verse that I'm fixing to read to you. It reads, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Whew! That's what Jesus told the devil. "Get thee behind me, Satan." I suppose that's sort of like saying, I don't want to reinterpret the Bible, but I sort of understand that it's saying, "Get out of my face, you devil." Well, no wonder that's omitted. No wonder that's been removed. It's missing from the New American Standard, the NIV, etc. "Get thee behind me, Satan." Luke 4:8. They can't say that because Satan's right in front of them, kissing them on the big rosy cheeks. Putting false words in their mouths. They can't say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because they're in bed with the devil and his works they must and will do. Well, some more examples. We're going to just look at some of these things that I think are absolutely hideous. You're going to see very clearly the outstanding true Word of God, the King James Bible. Here's a verse I've always loved. One of my all-time favorites. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Friends, if this doesn't mean anything to you, oh, you just don't know Jesus. It says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." My good brother and sister, have you been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot? Well, I pray that you have been. But you know, future generations won't even be reading that verse. Because in today's English version, for example, the very words, "precious blood," were taken out, removed. Can we remove the blood of Christ from the Bible? Well, let's look at a few more. You know, I want to make sure you understand what I'm talking about, because so many people say, "Well, okay, so there's differences, but what does it really matter? There's enough left in the Bible to believe in." You know, I remember when I was just a child, and the teacher would give us our multiplication tables in school, and I'd look at those tables, and you know, they're 2 plus, or 2 times 2 is 4, 4 times 4 is 16. And I would memorize those. And I would go over and over and over in my head, memorizing those things. Repetition. As an educator, I can tell you, repetition builds confidence. It builds levels of knowledge and learning in your brain, in your mind, and when you're reading the spiritual things of God in your heart. Don't tell me that you can take 10,000 words out of the Bible and there still have the power left in. Oh, I know. I realize it. It is true that you could just possibly take out John 3:16 and type it up on a piece of paper and go out and preach only John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse alone can change a man or a woman's heart. I know that. But is that any excuse to strip out tens of thousands of other verses in the Bible? Are they not valuable as well? When people say to me, but Tex Morris, you don't understand. You know, I realize that the NIV, that's stricken from all those words out of the Lord's Prayer. But you know, in one of the other Gospels, you'll find some of those words put back in the Lord's Prayer. So really, you know, it depends on where you read. That's exactly right. It does depend on where you read. What a trick of the devil. Strip one Lord's Prayer and leave it in the other. Makes you wonder then. People saying, well, I wonder which is which. I wonder what is the true Lord's Prayer. Again, remember, the devil is the author of confusion. Well, here's another one. Listen to this. Let me tell you what most of the new versions say about 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. They read in these false Bible versions, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Well, you know, that sounds good and that sounds about right, doesn't it? Until you read the real Word of God from the King James, and we read, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind." Ooh, something is different. Something is different about the King James. The Word, but he has given us the Spirit, is found in the King James. Now, friends, I propose to you that the removal of the words, but he has given us the Spirit, the removal of those words by these false Bible versions is on purpose. I do not believe that some little bitty error. It is absolutely a trick of the devil. A trick of the devil. Well, let's go some more. Did you know that most of the new Bible versions entirely strike out most of the Gospel of Mark, at least chapter 16, I mean. Did you know that? Verses 9 through 20, you'll read them. And even the ones that put it in, there's a little footnote below, down below, and says, the two most reliable early manuscripts do not have Mark 16, verses 9 through 20. I can understand why the devil doesn't want those in there. You see, Mark 16, 15, one of the verses that the devil wants removed, and they've removed from the New Bible version, says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The devil doesn't want you to do that. But my friends, God does. So remember, God's word is pure. Purified 7 times. You can believe it. The King James Bible. This is Tex Mars, thanking you for listening in on this program. Thanking you for your love, your prayers. Tune in each week. Tune in and discover a world of prophecy.